I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
At the 18th, Palmer would win the championship if he could hole out in one more putt. And like a born champion, he made no mistake.
This is an Open Championship week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Ripping and rolling here on a Tuesday morning. We've accomplished a lot so far, 1 hour in, I would say.
I think so. Solved the world hunger.
We actually didn't do that.
Oh, we didn't do that in the first hour? I thought we did. Sorry.
I think they did a study on that. Didn't they say it would cost like $6 billion to solve world hunger or some...
That's
like,
all it would cost.
It was like a crazy low number. And I remember Elon Musk, before he went nuts, was like, what does it cost? And they actually gave him
I'll
a study.
I'll do it, yeah.
And they said, here's the number. He never talked about it again, and he only got more insane.
Where's that Saint Jody Allen? She just made $9 billion off the sale of the Seahawks.
Well, she
just solved world hunger there, Jody.
She didn't.
That's right, the estate. Apologies.
Yeah.
Why doesn't the estate foot the bill for that? There you go. We just solved world hunger.
She paid herself a pretty penny, though, in salary along the way. I love how people just people act like she did that all
she
that for
did
free.
It out of the good of her heart.
She loved Paul. She'd never financially benefit from it.
You're an idiot.
She made a lot of money.
Old
Jones was bringing the money in.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get your Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll get to the Mail Sack today. Dirt says it's a loaded one.
Yeah, it's filling up quick.
It's
about as full as I've seen the sack at the 7 a.m. spot of the show in a long
time.
Got
a full sack. Welcome back in from your July 4th vacations. We have a loaded second hour of the radio program. We're going to get to our introduction of the morning breakfast omelet that I have prepared for us.
Mm.
Before we do that, I want to remind you that Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off. Let's do the morning breakfast omelet here. I got a lot to scramble up and mix in.
Make me an omelet.
What is your favorite? Like, if you guys had an omelet, what would you put in the omelet?
I'm pretty simple, man. I'm a pretty simple guy to please. Doesn't take a lot. Doesn't need to get exotic. Give me some good amount of cheese. Give me some good amount. I want bacon in there. I want sausage in there. Mm. Probably some bell peppers. Got to have some sort of vegetable in there. Make it slightly healthy, and that's about it.
Does a bell pepper actually make something healthy?
You're
after
damn right
it's been
cooked
in butter?
It's a vegetable. Of course it does. We know how vegetables
work. So just
work.
A meat and bell pepper omelet?
That's all I need. Okay. Get the mushrooms out of there. Get that. Get the crap. Get the like lettuce and like get that out. No.
Lettuce? Spinach? People put lettuce?
Spinach. I've had spinach in an omelet before.
Good.
Spinach, yeah. Lettuce would be disgusting.
It's a leaf. Get the leaves out. I don't
I don't
need
know.
The leaves in my omelets.
I'm a variety guy. I'm in a mood. What's fresh in your neck of the woods? If you're on a coastal, I want seafood in there. Give me shrimp, Swiss, spinach, kind of a Florentine thing.
You like shrimp with cheese? That sounds disgusting. I gotta be honest with you.
Well, you're a little biased observer here.
Like seafood.
You're anti seafood.
I'm anti seafood. Yeah.
I have had shrimp in an
How
omelet.
Would I know?
Yeah.
How would you know if strawberry and chocolate is good
Ooh,
or bad?
That's a good point.
Because I've tried it before and it was disgusting.
No, you
I
haven't.
I spit it out.
You're strawberry and chocolate? You dip it in chocolate.
You've never had strawberry with chocolate.
Did you dip
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
You
somebody,
tried strawberry when you were
chocolate.
Three and you've decided your whole life needs to be no
the,
strawberries.
The chocolate dipped strawberries, they would show up.
You got to dip somebody it yourself. Would, it's different.
Whatever.
Warm chocolate.
You've never had good sex with strawberries and chocolate. You're a liar. You're a little liar over there. I can look at your face, you liar.
I think you'd like the strawberries a little bit more.
He's a liar. He's a liar man over there.
That just blew up in your face, didn't it? Look at you guys going back and forth at each other.
You like mayo, too.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know.
No, you don't know.
No, you wouldn't know.
Idiot.
Shrimp.
Your fight.
And an omelet.
I do like a good Denver omelet, so ham, bell pepper, onion, cheese.
I'm with you there, bro. Yeah.
That can't go wrong.
The last time I had an omelet was a Denver omelet. It was perfect. It wasn't like a thick omelet. It's kind of more of a thin one with perfectly cooked.
They had a fresh omelet station in the buffet on the ship.
I'd be bummed if I were from Denver and that's the omelet I was known for. I want a cooler omelet than that. Of the meats you could choose to be in an omelet, where does ham fall on the list?
Yeah, but ham, cheese, bell pepper, and onion is a...
That's fine. It's okay. It's all right.
That's a bad take.
It's okay. It's average.
All right. Well, there's our morning breakfast omelet. Let's get to our actual sports breakfast omelet. Let's start with last night in the association. Because Summer League's going on.
It is going on right now.
Jan Hansen, in my face, 18-10-5.
Look at that. He got double-digit rebounds in a Summer League game.
How about that, huh?
He still looks like he's moving in slow motion.
Did he have four turnovers, too? Yes, he did.
Did he have a blocked shot?
Oh, I don't know. Did he?
No, he did not.
No block shots.
Zero blocks.
Still sucks on defense. Four turnovers. Blazer fans absolutely talked themselves into this guy being a thing again.
Yes, they did.
This is such a day-to-day Blazer fan thing.
Yes, this is why we have a problem. This is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't trade pieces away is because 10 rebounds in a Summer League game, and now all of a sudden Jan Hansen has shown all he needs to show. How about we get him as many reps as humanly possible because he clearly has a lot of work to do on his game. Look, you should be playing good in Summer League. It's not about the stat line for me. Mm. It's about what it looks like. Now, I didn't watch a ton of the game last night. I had the Home Run Derby on.
Well, it started a half hour late because they were off schedule. It was the last game.
Like
I flipped over to
night.
It, and it's the third quarter of the game before, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, no, we're not going to make it. It's just the way – it's what you see when you watch him, and it just – it seems like he's moving at 60% speed. Like he's in slow motion out there, and that does not translate well to the
NBA. He's still getting called for offensive fouls, trying to set a high pick. It's just – it's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing about it, man. Like, he had a nice game for himself. Good for him. He's a young guy. The team has told you what they think about him.
Yes.
This is what's funny. The team is doing two things right now. They are literally telling you what they think about him while trying to sell you on the idea of him. Go check their Twitter account. They will show you three different camera angles of a layup that he made and be like, it's young time. And then Joe Cronin will be like, I signed another center. I got another center. I got four centers. It's like,
we got more centers.
What do we believe in here? Their Twitter account or the actual GM's move? So the team is actually telling you what they think about it.
They told you he's not ready to play.
They also, I would love to point out, they had a guy guarding him named Sikarski.
Sikarski?
Sikarski.
Was he in The Wire?
Was it Sikorsky? Hog him up,
no,
Sikorsky!
It was Sikarski.
Sikarski?
It was Sikarski.
Hog him up, Sikorsky.
Sikarski's not going to be in the NBA.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive.
Are you positive about that?
Do you know who Kobe Johnson is?
I do not know who Kobe Johnson
dropped 30
is.
Points for the Hawks yesterday.
Hey!
So don't put a lot in the Summer League basket. Trust your eyes. Trust what the team is telling you. And speaking of the team, how about this one? A new state report highlights divide with Blazers over comparable NBA arena deals.
Yes.
We had the consultants were hired and brought in to study.
Got to have the consultants.
How's the business relationship work with the funding and the private and the public? And to no shocking development, they have found most deals in comping them to Cleveland, Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Orlando, Indy, and Memphis include a lot of private public money being involved. Obviously, the public covering the lump sum or the large amount, and then you've got the private doing the investing. And this has led city leaders to basically use this as more leverage in this ongoing fight as we get closer and closer to the vote. The team responded to this study, by the way, because this was not a consultant for the team.
No.
So the results don't come back very team-friendly. And they pointed to Salt Lake City, Memphis, Charlotte, Oklahoma City, Indy, San Antonio, and Washington, D.C., using them as arena comps. They also had somebody for the organization. Let me see if I can find it here because you go through the things here. Spokesman for the team said, I can't speculate at this point on the terms City may propose in negotiations. It is worth noting, Moda Center was built and maintained for 30 years with $350 million in private money, which would be the equal to $730 million in today's dollars, exceeding the combined private investment in original construction and renovation for arenas and comparable markets. On top of that, through ticket fees and parking revenue, the team has contributed over $160 million to the city's spectator fund, which the city used to renovate and maintain other city-owned facilities, Providence Park and Memorial Coliseum.
Yep.
Essentially, the team has prepaid its contribution to this project, keeping Moda Center in excellent condition while subsidizing the city's maintenance of their other venues.
This is where it's complicated because we have a new ownership group who was not the ownership group that put that money forth. That was Paul Allen. But it is also a fair point from the team's point of view. They have paid for everything that has to do with the stadium in its entirety. And that's a little bit different than some of these other spots. That's not the case in every market. Usually there's some sort of partnership. Like, look, we're still a long ways off from any of this coming to a head. We're still a long ways off from voting and term sheets and all of that. And I think a lot of these are very valid debates that we can have. I think one of the biggest sticking points for me, the more you read about this and look into it, is the idea that the city owns the arena. And yet, when there is not a Blazer game happening, let's say there's a concert, who's in town? Guns N' Roses are in town, or whatever the case. The city doesn't get any of the gate money for that event. That goes to, I can't remember, was it Rip City Management or whatever the company is that oversees all of this stuff, or Rose Court or whatever. They're the ones that pocket that cash, even though the city is the one that owns the arena. So there's a lot of stuff in here that I think you can dig into the nitty-gritty and say, okay, how do we make this a fair deal? I don't think private money is going to be coming. I think they've made that very clear. Mm. And to their point, again, it's weird because it's a different ownership group, but they're not wrong. The team and the organization has paid for everything with this the building since it was built, and now turning around and saying, hey, can we get the city to pay for 20% of a renovation, I think is a very fair ask, as long as there are some meets in the middle from the organization on things like the rent payment getting increased or sharing revenue from certain events throughout the calendar year. There's a middle ground that I hope that we can find, but I don't blame the team for having that stance.
I think Joe Burrow is way too high.
Oh, wow.
He's been in the league 6 years. He started every game of the regular season just three times. That's half. So, you know, to think that he's in this rarefied air inside the top, you know, five with guys that, you know, consistently play at an MVP level, that are always, you know, seemingly available, that's really surprising to me. And just for a little context, Jared Goff is all the way at nine. Over the last 4 years, Jared Goff is averaging over 4,500 yards, you know, passing, and over 30 touchdowns on the season. Burrow has thrown for over 4,500 yards in a season just twice. He's thrown over 30 touchdowns just three times.
That was Tim Hasselbeck on NFL Live as we talked about the NFL top 10 quarterbacks yesterday, and he was asked what's the most surprising. And he said Joe Burrow in the top five. And I'll say this, I don't largely agree with most of what I hear Tim Hasselbeck say.
Mm.
Part of it, I think, is the face and delivery. He just seems like he's ready to be pissed off at you. But I actually listened to the whole thing because he added a little more, too. He's like, my brother played in the NFL for X amount of years. He never went on the IR. And sometimes the IR is not your fault. He pointed out Brady and the 1 year Brady missed with the ACL injury. But I kind of found myself shaking my head like, yeah, that's a good point, man. Like, the one thing about Burrow, everybody knows what the skill level is.
Yes.
He has missed the playoffs three straight years.
Yes, he has.
And he has missed half of his career in injuries. It's just very interesting how the narratives about him are shaped versus how other players are. And so I'm not saying I agree, take Burrow out of the top 10, but I did find myself when he said this going, what? And then I listened and went,
a valid argument.
He's, you know, the best ability
is availability.
Yeah. And he has not been the most available quarterback, but he is still in the top five according to exec scouts, etc. Tim Hasselbeck on the top 10 quarterbacks, the most surprising one for him on the top 10 list.
Yeah, look, there's definitely a balance here, and I understand the point, and it's a big issue that we bring up a lot about Joe Burrow. Is he going to be available? You mentioned they have not made the playoffs for three straight years. What do two of those 3 years have in common? He got hurt halfway through the season and didn't play the other half of the year. 3 years ago when they missed the playoffs, he only played in 10 games. Last year, how many play? Eight. The year in between, though, he played the entire season, was probably the best quarterback in the NFL, but he didn't win the MVP because his team couldn't make the playoffs because his defense was historically bad. There's always a balance with this stuff. And I think when I look at Burrow, like, I get accused of making excuses, quote unquote, for Herbert when this stuff gets brought up. Like, I can add a little bit of context here in my head and say I'm completely fine with him being in the top five because he's played behind one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL for the last 4 years. This was a debate going back all the way to the drafting of Ja'Marr Chase, who was unquestionably one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, of should you take him or Penei Sewell. Mm-hmm. Who does Jared Goff have that we're going to tout his stats and his numbers that he's putting up? He's played behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL over the last 4 to 5 years in Detroit. There's no debating that. Every metric and every stat backs it up. And so is offensive line play important to quarterback play and staying healthy and being clean in the pocket and not getting hurt? When the answer to all of those questions is yes, there's a balance here where, yes, he needs to be more available, but I also look at a year in which he throws 43 touchdowns and 9 picks and they can't make the playoffs because they can't stop a nosebleed. That's not his fault. And when he's under siege the entire game in his in the pocket, yeah, there's moments where maybe you could get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. There's moments you could protect yourself a little bit better. But you're also asked to score 40 a game because, again, your defense is ass and you're holding on to the ball trying to make bigger plays and you end up getting hurt. And so where his career goes from here is very interesting to me. I'm not quite to the point yet of, like, bumping him further down the list. I think it's an interesting debate to have for sure, and I see the other side of the argument. I also will contend with, well, then who are you putting into his spot? Did he come in number 4? Is that where he was ranked, or 5?
I believe he was number...
I think it was 4, and
he
then
was 4 ahead of Lamar.
Yeah, Lamar so was 5.
You
yeah.
want to tell me Lamar's ahead of him? Totally fine. Dak Prescott, who's also missed nearly 2 full years in the last 5 years. So he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Who else are you... Like, this is the whole fun part of the game, of, like, what guy are you then sliding up into Joe Burrow's spot, and how far down are you going
well,
to move
him? Well, he used Goff as an example. Goff's stats...
That's fine.
...kind of exceed Burrow's
Jared Goff's
plays.
Been a hell of a player.
Yeah.
He has. Not a soul alive would take Jared Goff over
in
Joe Burrow.
In one game, no.
In one game, no. Or in one season, no. They just wouldn't do it.
No,
and if
you
switch spots, again, this is the part of the quarterback position. If Joe Burrow had been the quarterback of the Detroit Lions over the last 5 years, do they win a Super Bowl? I think that they do. Now, I can't prove
playing?
That. I don't know.
See, that's the tough part. Is he healthy? Is he even playing?
Yeah, he did 2 years ago, and he threw 43 touchdowns and 9 picks and was the best quarterback in the league. Mm.
Well, that was Tim Hasselbeck's two cents on the top five of quarterbacks.
It's a fun debate to have. He's also crowned early in his career because he beat Mahomes and got to a Super Bowl.
See, I think the National Championship last. Actually set him
Yes, he won a title,
way,
too.
Narrative-wise for a lot of people. And then, yeah, to your point, second year Super
he
Bowl.
He was the first guy to make Mahomes look I mean, Brady did, but that was different.
He didn't make Mahomes.
I know, but that's the way we treat this stuff. If a quarterback wins, he's the winner, and he's better. That's how we handle this stuff, because we have brains of Neanderthals.
Well, but you just
did it.
When
talking about quarterback position.
Moving on to the omelet this morning, we've got Gary Trent Jr., 4 years, $64 million, fully guaranteed.
The Bucks got to pay somebody.
You want to talk about this for a second? This is not a deal we should care about that much. Do you know Gary Trent Jr. signed back with the Bucks last year for the minimum?
I had no idea. I couldn't tell you for $1 million where he was playing.
He averaged 8 points
okay,
on 38.7% shooting.
That's pretty bad.
And 20 minutes a game.
That's pretty bad.
And they signed him to 4 years, $64 million.
Why
after
did they do
paying,
that?
Right. This is actually getting a lot of people around the NBA like snooping around.
Did they need to get to like a salary floor? Is this a who's his agency? What's the insinuation
his agency.
Here? Is it Clutch? Yeah, they're doing a Clutch favor. We've done a lot of Clutch favors. I'm sure it'll come back and pay us off at some point, right?
Nobody has done more favors debatably for Clutch outside of the LeBron bubble than Milwaukee and Portland.
Mm.
We are just constant handshake, sure, we'll do it for you, teams.
Glazing them. We're going to get LeBron, though, right? That's how this works in the end.
So the theory is that they actually brought in Gary Trent with the agreement, the unspoken agreement of
next year,
coming here for cheap to help us with Giannis. Oh, it didn't work.
Now we'll pay
you. We'll pay you, but he played so piss poorly that people are like, why did you just give him $64 million?
Remember when we used to debate about the number of minutes Gary Trent Jr. would get in a game? Remember that era of Blazer fandom?
I do.
When we couldn't let Gary Trent Jr. walk because he was too good in a bucket?
Do
you know
do
he was born
that.
In Portland?
I do.
You know that?
I do.
He's got Portland in his blood.
And a positive note as we finish up our morning breakfast omelet, in only a fitting way.
Yes.
A San Diego infectious disease doctor says it's probably best to stay away from fresh produce for the next week or so.
Oh.
Even if you wash it, as the fecal parasite illness known as cyclosporiasis has now reached California.
Ooh. What do we get when we get this? Like, what's the...
You just get a...
Explosive diarrhea.
Explosive diarrhea.
Sounds like a Tuesday. Bring it on. What places are infected by this food?
What do you mean?
Is it like, has it been in restaurants? Is it spread around restaurants?
It's literally just in everywhere.
I didn't know one restaurant was here to get more.
It's just produce.
Okay, just produce.
No, there's no restaurant.
Got it. Okay.
It's like grocery store, farmers markets.
Don't eat any produce for 2 weeks. No salad and veggies.
Look, it's in California, so that probably means it's in Southern Oregon now as we speak. So get ready to have this.
I'll roll the dice.
It was great to find out that the federal government had rolled back studies and probing of this specific fecal matter borne illness.
Are you eating poo? Is there like bug poo on there?
It ain't bug.
It ain't bug poo? What kind of poo are we talking? Me and you poo? Our poo? Our poo's on the food?
Well.
We pooed on the food?
What a great omelet we just gave you.
Yeah, you gave me a poop on the top of it.
Happy Tuesday. I'm just telling you, giving you a heads up.
Now I'm not eating that omelet anymore.
Well, you're not going to be doing the green stuff. I mean, I want your bell peppers?
I'm still going to eat vegetables.
Are you?
I will, yeah.
Just roll the dice
with it? I'm not going to eat vegetables for 2 weeks?
Oh, who knows how long this takes?
How long are we talking here?
I don't know. If you get it once,
salad?
Can you get it again?
Is it just on leafy stuff? Is it tomatoes? Is it bell peppers? Is it everything? Cucumbers? I can't have a salad. I mean,
it's literally on all fruits and vegetables.
We're just not supposed to eat any fruit and vegetables for a month?
Well, we don't know because they've underfunded it.
Now so we're going to go run and buy toilet paper. I'm going to go ahead and eat my fruits and vegetables. I'll be okay. All right.
Buy all the veggies now and freeze them.
Now we're talking.
Then you'll get the good veggies. There's your morning breakfast omelet. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1. We have a lot more to get into. Hour number two rolls on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Yeah, some thoughts coming in on the newspaper job that Dirt and I missed as kids. We didn't get to be on bikes throwing newspapers at front yards.
No, we have P1 Bob said he got to do the job back in the day.
So, like, it's literally somebody on a BMX bike with, like, a basket or, a knapsack around your shoulder. Then you just grab them and throw them as you're pedaling. That was, a real portrayal in the movies.
How many do you carry with you on your bike at any given moment?
You had to have had, like, a substantial amount because you're biking. So you're not going from the neighborhood back to the newspaper place, right?
Right. No, I wouldn't think so.
So how many do you think you have? You probably have a set sector that you deliver to.
I got this neighborhood and area. Yeah.
Is that 30 houses? Is that 40 houses?
Be more 50. To 60, I would say.
So you're carrying 60 newspapers? You remember how big newspapers used to be back in the day?
I mean, now they're skinny little bastards, but back in the day, those things were thick with two C's.
Well, the only ones that got super thick were the Sunday one, obviously. That was a different beast all to its own. And I think the Thursday one had a bunch of inserts in it. It had like the arts and entertainment thing for the weekend and dining and some stuff like that.
I disagree with you. I used to steal Park Rose's newspaper every morning. Well, I didn't steal it, but I would read it first.
You borrowed it for a little bit.
Because I'd get to the school like at 6 a.m. So, you know, once I cooled down from playing basketball, I'd just grab the paper and read it before kids got there.
Go read the comments in the sports section.
Yeah, Tuesday editions were thick because like half of it was advertising.
Right. Mm.
So we just carried 50 of these things in a little knapsack as you rode a BMX Huffy?
Yeah.
That seems, underpaid is what I'm gathering.
Maybe that's why the job went away. No kids wanted to do it anymore. It's too physically demanding.
Very interesting. Jobs that don't exist anymore that I wish they did. So kids, like, imagine doing it now with these electric bikes.
That would make it very interesting.
Oh, my God. These kids would have the easiest job in the world.
You could do five neighborhoods in an hour and a half. You'd be flying around. I always do a double take them when I'm walking in the neighborhood. Like, you go for an early morning walk and you see a paper in somebody's driveway.
We don't see them very often.
It's very rare. It's like seeing a bald eagle flying around. You're like, look at that. There's still a paper, people.
I don't mean this as a shot. I support the local journalism financially.
Yes,
but
we read Oregon Live all the time.
I've seen a newspaper, and I grabbed one, and I remember it was a Saturday edition, and it felt like it was five pages thick. This is it?
That's all you got?
It's all I'm getting?
Yeah, I go to OregonLive.com. I don't get it delivered. But I do miss the old feeling of the... open it, folding it.
Dude, I love it.
Doing page by page.
I love it.
Made you feel like you were accomplishing something.
Also, it's a fire starter.
Yeah, that is very true.
Who wasn't taking newspaper camping back in the day?
When I had a house 3 houses ago, we had an old fireplace. That was our main source of heat. And that, man, the number of newspapers I went through to get that baby cooking was a lot.
How about this one? Matt Ishbia.
Yes, the owner of the Suns.
You see what he's doing?
I have not seen what Matt Ishbia is doing.
It's interesting. In the world of rich people not caring about you, I, or anybody else, Matt Ishbia, whatever you think of him, certainly is throwing his fans a bone. The Suns are offering free parking this year for all new season ticket holders who buy lower level tickets. So are you spending a little bit more? You are.
For lower level tickets.
But
is
you're getting
wash
free
out?
Parking out of it.
Yeah.
Tom Dundon's parking in Carolina, not free.
It is not.
Not cheap.
It's $40, I think. He got into it with the Spittin' Chicklet guys over the parking in Carolina. It was a funny back and forth. That feels like he's pulling a fast one on me.
You think that's pulling a fast one on
you? I do. Like, if I'm a season ticket holder...
What deal would you want over free parking?
I mean, I would prefer... I mean, it's not free because you have to buy a lower-level ticket.
But you already were going
to
spend that money on the ticket.
Maybe I wasn't
going
to.
You think they price-adjusted and said, what's a season's worth of parking? I mean, let's add it to the lower level?
I think so, yeah. That would be my guess here. I think it's a free, we're throwing you a bone here, and then you realize, wait,
fantastic.
If I would have just bought the 200-level seat and the parking, it would have ended up being... like. So I guess in that regard...
You got better seats, though.
You could get better seats. So in that regard, I guess it's a deal. But there's got to be some sort of game being played here for Matt Ishbia, does there not?
You could be right. Very well.
Maybe I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt. I don't know.
Well, Arthur Blank did this, didn't he?
He
with his food menu, he lowered the concession costs, and he found that more people bought food and drink because when people don't feel like they're getting ripped off, they'll actually spend a little bit more.
That's a fair point.
So I wonder if Ishbia is doing this knowing I'm sacrificing a couple
to get people
more
to buy
fans into season tickets. Yeah.
I also don't know where their season tickets are at right now. They're in a weird spot. They had Durant and all those guys a couple years ago. They were better than we all thought they would be last year, and then they lost to us in the play-in. And
they're a weird team.
It's just a weird team, right?
And Miles Bridges now, Dylan Brooks, Devin Booker, Jalen Green. I don't know what to make of that team.
You're building around Devin Booker still, but there's not enough talent around. They're going to be the same team probably next year that they were this year, where you're fighting at the bottom of the playoffs. Yeah. So I'm sure that's not driving season ticket sales like crazy. And so from that area, it is a smart business move. I'd be curious, though, to like have somebody do an economic study of how much money you're actually saving on this, or if he's raising the prices to the point where it's a net wash, but at least you get a better seat out of it. So that part of it I
like. Well, our area where the Moda is right now, there's a lot of people that, like, if you don't park at the Garden Garage, it feels like a little bit of a roll of the dice.
It absolutely
does it
is.
Not?
Not only is your vehicle going to be intact on the way out, but will you be able to find a parking spot?
Well, that's the other thing, is if you're going to park in the neighborhood by the Toyota dealership,
yes,
you might be blocks away.
You're a long walk away.
I'll never forget, like, because I famously used to, when I used to go to games more often, I would park right next to the dealership every time.
Yes.
It was quick. It was right there. No big deal.
You can grab a bite of food over there, too, if you want to.
And my brother-in-law, who had a really nice car, like far nicer than I, was debating if he should go to the garage that night or where he should park. And I said, I always park by the dealership. Yeah. It's been money for me every time.
Haven't had any issues.
He did it. Windows shattered when he got back to his car. And I went, that's not technically my fault.
But now I feel guilty.
But I do feel bad.
I told you it was okay.
Maybe your car is nicer than my 07 Camry with non-tinted windows.
Maybe I didn't have the same care that you do over your quality of window. Yeah, you break one in a Camry, we'll be fine.
But what is something they could give you as a season ticket holder that would make it more interesting to make you want to have the purchase? Because here's my take. I don't enjoy the Garden Garage. I hate the Garden Garage.
I feel like you have to leave early.
Getting out of the Garden Garage is a disaster.
It's horrible.
It's like four cars at a time, and then we're just... If you've ever parked on like the second to third level, you're just sitting there.
You're forever.
You're not moving.
Especially if you stay the entire game. And then you got to feel like you're one of those weird people of like, do I need to beat the traffic? But I paid a lot of money to be here, but I also don't want to sit in the parking lot for an hour after the game.
Like, Ducks fans have complained about the uptick in their prices for football tickets.
People still paying it.
Every
game will be sold out.
Well, like, what would fans want, though? Is there something beyond parking that you'd rather have than free parking?
I think the idea, the parking one is unique. Moda Center is a little bit different because you do have, now not everybody's willing to do it, but you do have other pathways to get to the arena, right? Like, you can take the Max and it'll drop you off right there.
Portas a la derecha.
That's right. So theoretically, there are ways if you don't want to deal with somebody breaking into your car or finding a place to park or the expense of parking. There are different ways to get down to the arena, right? Mm. So there's different answers there. As a fan, personally, parking would not be my biggest bugaboo. My biggest bugaboo would be the food and drink prices because it's absurd. At every arena you go to, Sands, Atlanta, of how much things cost, how much a bottle of water is, how much a beer is, how much a hot dog or a burger or a slice of pizza is, because that's where I think it really gets you. Like, the parking, I don't mind. I'll even be the kind of fan who's willing to pay a little bit more of a premium for parking so you're a little bit closer if you need to do that. But, like, if you take your family to go to a game and you're eating out while you're at the game and you want to have a beer or two while you're there, that's where I feel it the most. Of, like, this is absurd that this pizza's $10 and this beer's, I got a slice of pizza and a beer and it's $19 and you're asking me to tip 20%. This is ridiculous, and that doesn't count anybody else's food. So if I could pick one thing as an owner, like, hey, Tom, please do this, it would be the blank model in Atlanta. I will never forget being in Atlanta for the Oregon-Georgia game. It's the only time I've ever been in that stadium, walking around the concourse, looking at the concession prices, and just in awe. Now, I didn't eat it because we had free media food. It was all Chick-fil-A everywhere. But I just wanted to go see what everything cost because I know we'd read about it. And it blew my mind. And if I were one of those fans, I would absolutely be one of the fans who bought more than they normally would. Mm-hmm. You usually limit yourself because it's $100 for everybody to eat. And you're like, that's all I'm going to get. You give me beers for $5, man. I'm going to have four of those things.
That's a poll question I want to put up. Like, if you're to buy sports tickets, what would you want a better deal on, the concessions or the parking?
Yeah. And I get both.
I think you're right. I think more people would probably choose the food and drink.
Yeah.
Just because it just makes the experience a little better.
Right.
You don't have to worry about how early you got to go down. Here's the other part.
Let's say they offered this deal. Tom Dundon does this deal.
Yeah.
But the parking's in the Garden Garage. If you get there 3 hours early and you're the first car in there, then by all means, you'll be the first one out.
I feel like there's more ways around the parking issue if you think about it.
Yes.
As opposed to concessions, if you want to eat or drink something at the game, you really don't have options.
No.
Well, when
everything's expensive. You have options of what you want to eat, but everything's expensive.
And deal with public transit and get on the other side of the river, park somewhere over there.
Yeah.
Like, you can figure it out.
We had when we went to the Niner game last year in August for the preseason, and granted, it's preseason, but they're still selling out probably 80% of that arena, right? Maybe more, I don't know. But it was pretty full, and I got to see what the game day experience was kind of like, right? Preseason. This is why so many people who don't live in Santa Clara, if they live in like San Francisco or San Jose, if they're going and they're consuming booze, this is why they stayed at the hotel I stayed at, which was literally across the street. It took, I asked one person, like, hey, how long does it usually take to get out of this parking lot? Because they use the theme park parking lot for Niner games. And he said, sometimes it can take up to 60 minutes. And that's like you in your car, just sitting in the car, not moving.
Just sitting.
So a lot of people just keep tailgating after.
Right, you don't go home.
And they just waited out. Traffic was going on for an hour and a half after the game.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people, when they go to the Niner game, they just get a room at a hotel,
stay
park the
night.
Car across the street,
yeah.
Walk, and then just have no rush and no obligations of being stuck in anything.
Yeah, too many beers, go sleep it off, and then drive home after that when all the traffic dies down.
I think more people would probably pick what you're picking concession-wise, but parking, like having premium parking or having a parking discount.
I get it.
I mean, look
it's
at the World Cup,
man.
Right? $50 to $100 for World Cup parking.
Joe Fisher told us a great parking situation. They closed the gate up in Seattle. He had to get on the phone with somebody to open the gate to get his car out.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Joe parked
in a garage for the Egypt-Iran game. And he said when everybody left, it was a big multi-level parking garage. Everybody left. The parking garage was closed and locked.
Nobody could get in to get their cars.
Nobody could get in their cars. We're talking like hundreds of people.
And he bought it sanctioned parking through the World Cup. Like not like a random, this is Joe from, guy on the internet.
So he had to call like two different numbers, finally gets some dweeb, and he's like, oh, I can try it. Give me just a minute. And the guy tries, like, all right, what do you think now? He's like, it's still not open. And then finally it got open, and he just, like, led the mass amounts of people. Like, he was Moses.
Come on,
follow
me. Get your cars. The gate's going to close soon. Run.
He's like, dude, and you had to spend how much to park there? That's crazy. Should be set up. I don't know. Might be a good deal for Suns fans.
I'll throw that poll question up. What would you prefer, a deal on better deal on parking or a better deal on concessions?
Yeah, that's a good one. At Dirt and Spray, get to that. Spike Eskin will join us coming up at 8:05. We've got the All-Star Game in Philadelphia. Are they still in the LeBron sweepstakes? They got Jalen Brown. Jalen Hurts is not a top 10 quarterback. A lot to talk about with our Philly friend Spike Eskin at 8:05. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday. Dirt and Spray back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Concessions and parking coverage on the Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. It's a Mail Sack Tuesday, a Sparta TRT Mail Sack Tuesday. Get those questions in at 503-864-6326. We'll talk with Spike Eskin at 8:05 today, our good friend in Philadelphia, PA.
What's going on in Philly right now?
Yes, indeed. It doesn't seem like they're going to get LeBron. I think LeBron Cleveland is going to be the thing.
I'd be cool with that, man. Go home one more time. One more year, two more years, however many it is. That would be the best possible outcome here.
But they got Jaylen Brown. We wanted Jaylen Brown.
Yes, they do.
They get nice things. They've got Bob Myers.
They hit on a draft pick. What's that feel like? To get a guard who's dynamic early in his career.
Which one are you talking about, Maxey or Edgecombe? Because they nailed their point guard and two guard picks.
Yeah, it's pretty good, huh?
We certainly did not.
Think they'll swap Scoot and Shaden for Edgecombe and Maxey? Think they'll do that deal?
Yeah, and then they'll sign the Max.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what we're going to do.
That's where it's going to go.
Bob Myers to Portland confirmed. He'll sign the Supermax.
People are now. This is a very debated thing right now. Very debated. A lot of angry thoughts coming in on the Max.
Why
it's
are
not
angry
safe.
Thoughts coming in?
People like taking shots at the Max.
Being safe. Sorry,
yes,
I didn't hear that part.
Is Dirt really going to take his little one on the Max? No way. No, I wouldn't. I would still.
My kid just rode
the
Max to the Fire Caitlin Clark game.
There you go.
It was her first Max experience. She loved it.
I have done it. I love the idea that every time you're on the Max, you're going to get shivved. Like, no. We don't have a daily stab rate on the Max.
What's the stab rate average on the Max?
Now, do I prefer to drive and park? Like, yeah, dude. It was the question of what would you rather have a cheaper option
concessions
of, and I would rather have concessions.
Yeah.
My only point was that you have other options to get to the arena.
Mm.
Once you get to the arena, you only have the options that are in the arena to eat. Now, somebody tweeted us and said you don't have to eat, you got to get there.
That's true.
That's also valid.
Very
but
good point.
I also like to eat when I'm at a game.
It's hard not.
Sue me!
Well, yeah, well, we know why.
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Yes,
I'm fat and I want to have a couple of beers, man. Okay? You know, often I go to a sporting event. It's not very often. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? An occasional weekend, I want to go have 7 beers while I'm there.
Is that a good...
Sue me.
Good poll question. Do we average a stabbing a day on the Max, yes or no, at Durden Spring? Is that too far?
Do we have anybody out there working for the Max can notify us the daily
the
stab rate?
Look, I'd say this. The workers of the Max are not the problem.
No.
I just wish we could make it feel...
A little bit safer.
More safe. When I go 84 into work... I drive past the 42nd station stop, and I look at all 7 of those people, and I go, I hope you're safe today.
Yeah.
And I also zoom feel right like, past them.
I also feel like some of the judging of the Max is not good in terms of the I feel like the majority of the people that do the anti-Max angle are people who don't... It's like the idea of going into downtown Portland. You're going to get stabbed. Yeah. Then you ask, when was the last time you were in downtown Portland? They're like, well, 10 years ago.
Well, that's
so you don't go, so you don't know,
no,
but you're
Max
telling
is,
me it's not safe? Like
preferred way to go to Timbers games because
yes.
there's no damn parking down there.
Dude, my mom takes the Max everywhere. She tries to make our entire family take the Max everywhere. She is so pro-Max.
Well, we pay for it.
I know. We went to the zoo 2 weeks ago. By the way, 10 out of 10 zoo day. Bears climbing the tree all the way up to the top.
Oh,
every animal was out.
I love a good 10 out of 10
like,
zoo
oh, my
day.
God, everything's happening. Everybody's out. Perfect day. And what does she say when we're hey, let's go to the zoo Sunday? What does she want to do?
Take the Max.
Yeah. What did we do?
That's a tunnel exit, isn't it? The zoo one? The Washington School
I think so.
Street one?
Yeah,
yeah, hop on the Max,
inside the
drive
tunnel.
There.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
She's always trying to... My mom rides the Max, I would say, I mean, I'm over-exaggerating, every week probably, and to this date has not been stabbed yet.
The funniest one is when I tell people growing up in Park Rose, and be like, yeah, we used to go to the Gateway Transit Center all the time. It's always like, oh my God.
Are you still alive?
I promise you, it wasn't that.
How many times have you been
bad.
Stabbed? Let me see the scars, huh?
Look, were there weirdos? Absolutely. But when there's 6 kids that are willing to kick you in the nuts, you ain't messing with those kids.
Right.
And that was us. Leave us alone,
we
you
were
weirdo.
The kids that was running around.
Yeah. That was before the fentanyl.
Yeah, that's true.
You kids don't know what it's like.
No. We used to have happy homeless people, man.
We did have happy homeless people. That was when weed was bad.
Weed was bad, and they were just drunk all day.
Yeah, they were.
That's what we would deal with. Now they're leaning. They're leaning and they're howling. What's going on over there?
Walking with my kid in Southeast, I saw a guy. He was laying sitting, like a laying sitting spot on a stoop of a closed business.
Uh-huh.
just absolutely obliterated out of his mind, drunk, and he's like, "Hi," and my 10-year-old goes, "Dad, what do I say to those people?"
You just keep walking.
Just keep
walking. Keep him head straight, stoic, keep it moving. 10-2.
Treat it like a T-Rex in Jurassic Park.
Dude, I have one of the... I don't know if
don't
this...
move.
Yes.
Just keep slowly back away.
Just keep moving. Just keep...
Very quietly.
Keep moving. No sudden movements.
And then he did it on the way back. We had to walk past. Hi. I was like, oh.
Dude, I had one of these last night. I was over at my folks for dinner. I had such a weird interaction with an old guy. I don't know if he was on drugs or not or just crazy. I'm not sure. Mm. But literally putting things in the car or the truck to get ready to go home, he's walking down the sidewalk and I drop, I'm a hey, how's it going guy when I pass people in public. Hey, how's it going? And then sometimes you get an answer that you don't want, and he immediately answered and said, "Well, if I really told you, would you believe me?" And I just thought, okay, now I've opened a can of worms. This isn't
good. Did you turn around and say, "Yeah, try me"?
I did. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he said, "Well, if I tell you the parts of my life that aren't good, nobody actually wants to hear them." And I was like, "Yeah, we usually want to hear the good things." And at this point, I'm like trying to usher my way back into the house. And then as I'm walking up the stairs, he goes, "Yeah, cancer." And he just starts rattling off. I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now.
As he's like saying, so he's like, "Yeah, cancer, my yeah. kid left me."
I'm literally walking up the stairs to try and get
and then
back
the door's
in the
house. Just shutting as he's still talking.
And then I eventually have to stop on the stairs because he says, "What's your name?" And then I say, "Yeah," I tell him my name. And he goes into some like nursery rhyme about picking apricots and that I don't know. It was one of the weirdest interactions I've ever had. And I tried to get into the house as fast as possible. Maybe I shouldn't ride the Max. That guy's probably on there and he's going to stab me.
So Dirt's pro parking because he doesn't want to take the Max anymore because of a nursery rhyme involving apricots.
Who is this guy? Am I going to get stabbed right now? What is happening? It's crazy.
That is, I had multiple people reach out and tell me your neighbor's story.
Uh-huh.
She is psychotic.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Now, she knows what you do. This just aired it all out.
Yeah, let's not say that anymore. I don't think she does. Maybe she does. I don't know.
I just had a lot of people like, that is the weirdest behavior.
Pretty weird behavior.
Of an adult I've ever heard. Would have been nice to talk to you.
I got to go put a 2-year-old to sleep. I'm probably not going to sleep tonight. So, you know, thanks for the time, though.
I didn't get to my, do you want Brian Kelly back at your program if you fired Brian Kelly?
Ooh, who's bringing Brian Kelly
back? He left, I guess, didn't he? Didn't he leave for LSU?
He did, yeah. Notre Dame wants Brian Kelly back?
Well, Brian Kelly did an interview. I don't have time to get into it. We'll have to do it
later. He's working on CBS Sports Network now,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, he's making the rounds. And he's basically like, I'll support Marcus. I'll go back there. I'll do what I need to for that program. I love that program.
No.
Is he going to be a coach anymore?
Somebody will give him a job.
I think he's underrated done.
That'll be a fun debate to have. I think he'll for sure get another job.
He might have to go under the radar, somewhere under the radar first.
Like a New Mexico if what's the guy's name?
Elko.
Elko, or not Elko.
Not Elko. Eck, yeah, Jason Eck.
If Eck leaves.
Something like that.
Mm. 1 year and then bounce to the first Power 4 program.
The hang up here will be, is he good on TV?
That's the thing. If he's good, he's going to get a
job. He's
going to
get
sure.
paid, and he's going to keep doing that because then you stay associated with the game. But I don't see him being good on TV. He's too phony. I don't see people liking him.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how that goes.
But we'll find out. Call him Mountain West games.
All right. Do you ride the Max? Do we average a stabbing a day on the Max? Those are questions we can post on the show page. Loaded third hour of the program. We got the mail sack in the fourth, but Spike Eskin at WIP Sports Radio in Philly's going to join us. A lot going over there. In the city of brotherly love, Spike Eskin joins us hour three on The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brathan, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brathan wherever you get your podcasts.